The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
There's an awful lot of anxious parents out there who are worried about schools not returning fully in September. Maybe it's possible to cope at present with homeschooling and issues like that because the parents are also at home. But what if work requires them to go back in September? And apart from that, how well is everybody doing with all of the issues of being with their children locked up at home on a near permanent basis at present? So we've asked Helen Vaughan, our resident psychotherapist, the owner of Maynooth Counselling, to join us here on the programme again today. Helen, thank you very much for joining us. How much sympathy do you have for parents who are now juggling childcare, homeschooling and work?
I have a huge amount of sympathy. Technically, I'm kind of one of them, but I don't work full time. So, you know, it's not so bad. It's the people who have maybe two parents at home, probably a couple of children, maybe more, trying to hold down full-time jobs and look after the kids and trying to feel like maybe you're doing half a good job with both of those roles when I'm sure there's a huge amount of guilt over what you feel you should be doing. And the one thing I would say about all of it is, can you give yourself a break? And while I'll say yes, I do mean a physical break away from it, but also emotionally and mentally, can you give yourself a break for the fact that, you know, I'm kind of thinking parenting-wise, is this the toughest parenting you're ever going to do, that it's this full-on, you're at home all the time with them, you don't have your usual supports and outlets and people to take them, whether it's childminder, your parents, you know, friends, their friends, you don't have all those outlets that you usually have. So it's a hugely intense time, family-wise, you know, not to mention the fact that there's a virus going around to be nervous about as well. So there's so much going on there. You know, no matter your family situation, there's huge pressure, whether you've one child at home or five at home. You know, it's just, it's really tough. And I just think...
There was one word there that you used, Helen. One word that really jumped out at me, guilt. How many parents do you think are perhaps even feeling guilty that they're not doing enough or they're not doing well enough for their children?
I'd say everyone. Like, I'd say you'd be hard-pressed to find a parent who doesn't feel, oh, I should have done this and I should have done that. You know, and I was talking to a teacher friend about this, saying, what would you say? Because the one thing I'll try not to do in this is give you 10 more things to think about that you should be doing to add to your endless list of things that you already feel you should be doing and feel like you're never getting to the end of the list. But, you know, she was saying the one thing as a teacher that she'd say is, can you read with your children? Can you sit and read a book if you can, a magazine if they're into football, a football magazine, you know, a website if they're into the web? Find something that they can read and read it with them. And I was like, oh God, I'm not reading to my 6-month-old yet. And, you know, I think we're all guilty of thinking, oh, I should be reading to the baby. And you're like, no, don't worry about her. She'll get there. But, you know, can we give ourselves a break in terms of the demands and the expectations we have on ourselves? You know, that other people are learning languages or crocheting, like I think you joked before, or, you know, learning an instrument at the moment. And if you're at home with children or without, that actually it's about coping at the moment and it's about surviving and trying to stay somewhat well emotionally and not hopefully losing your mind. But even if you do, make a phone call, ring a therapist, ring a friend. You know, don't be afraid to admit it if you are struggling and if you are finding it hard.
Okay, there's a lot of things there that perhaps we can touch upon. You mentioned about, you know, some parents are using it as an opportunity to get their children to learn something. And maybe that's great, maybe learning an instrument or a particular skill. I suppose, though, it would be best not to boast about it to others, particularly on maybe those late-night Zoom calls over a glass of wine, because that could only make the other parent in another household feel, oh, I'm not doing as well by my children.
Yeah, and I think that's a real pity, and it can be a social media thing as well as, yeah, a late-night Zoom thing, that you don't need to boast and you don't need to shame other people. And maybe it's about checking yourself and being like, when someone else says they're doing something, do you take it as a slight that you should be doing it too? Because what's important for them may not be important for you. You know, and if your child is baking, that to me is homeschooling. And in fact, you know, homeschooling is a choice, surely. The people decide, I'm not going to send my children to school, I'm going to school them at home. Whereas what's happening at the moment isn't a choice. This has been forced on anyone. So again, I'd say, can you give yourself a break in terms of what you're expecting to teach your child day to day? You know, I did read an article that said that children likely won't remember what they're homeschooled at the moment, but they will remember how they're homeschooled. So they'll probably remember if you're screaming and shouting and getting annoyed with yourself or with them or with, you know, the books or whatever it is. But can you sort of just take a more relaxed approach to yourself, I mean, and try to do what you can, but don't feel guilty and don't feel bad. And if you do, talk about it, you know, to your partner or whoever, and just say, I feel bad that we didn't get, I don't know, I don't even have school-age children. I'm like, what do they learn anymore? You know, but with maths or with Irish or with stuff that isn't your strength, don't feel bad, you know, that you're not getting the Mo Cunílac across to them at this point. You know, that they will catch up. And I just feel over the course of life, it will kind of even out. But try not to pressure yourself too much.
Helen, we have touched on this before, but I think it is worth bringing up again, that there may be certain things that you can take advantage of that many families, perhaps with the different working hours that parents might have had and with children out and about doing various things between school and sports and whatever, may not often have had the opportunity to sit down together and have family meals. Is this an opportunity now to get those sort of old-fashioned habits and customs in place so that people actually talk to each other over a meal?
Exactly, and it's a lovely thing to do at the end of the day, to sit and have a meal or have lunch together if we're obviously all there at lunchtime. And it feeds into the whole routine and structure that actually for children and for you, if you can keep a routine for them and for you in terms of meals together, maybe a bit of learning time in the morning, whatever shape that takes, bit of activity at some stage in the day. Share the day work-wise. So, you know, if you've got two parents at home, both with full-time jobs, say, I'll work in the morning and my partner works in the afternoon, and then we share the parenting, and then sit down and have a meal together at the end of the day. And can you have some boundaries around that where you all put your devices away at mealtime, you put your books away, whatever it is, and that you sit and talk about, you know, your experiences, maybe something you learned today. It doesn't have to be school related. It can be anything. It can be in the garden. It can be out in the park. You know, whatever it is that was new for you today. Share that, parents and children, so that you sit, you talk, you eat together, and, you know, in a way that maybe you enjoy this time together, which I think underneath it all, despite all the stress and strain, a lot of people are enjoying the time they're getting to spend with their children. But I think
So you mentioned, Helen, reading with children. Now, it depends on what age the children are. But as the children get older, what about doing things like playing board games with them? I've actually come across people as well who, even with older children, teenagers, they're doing these giant jigsaws together.
Jigsaws seem to be the thing of this pandemic, I say, as if there'll be many. You know, jigsaws seem to be a thing. I know my mother is doing them. So anyone up to, you know, people in their 70s are doing them. I know my 2-year-old loves them. But they can be a great thing to do together because it's a good mindfulness activity, because it kind of gets everything else out of your head. You're hopefully fairly focused on the jigsaw you're doing here and now. And if you can do it together, it is a nice thing to do, you know, family time. The other thing with reading, if you've older children and they don't want you to read to them and they're reading something, you can kind of engage by saying, you know, would you have changed the ending of that story? What would you have done if you'd written it? Or would you change the title or the name of the story? How would you have changed it and what would you have done? So you can kind of find a list, you can find subtle ways of interacting and just getting them to think without thinking I need to sit down and do long division or do some complex mathematical problem, that, you know, something as simple as doing a jigsaw or, you know, maybe listening to music and talking about that. What do you like about that song? What do you think of the lyrics? You know, to try to engage with things on their level rather than feel that you need to be sitting going through the science book with them every day. You know, that, I guess, again, just take a break, give yourself a break.
If you can give yourself time, because it does strike me, Helen, that it must be very difficult for single parents in particular who don't have a partner who they can share the load with.
Yeah, and again, that's a huge pressure, you know, that you're probably not seeing other people, your usual supports and friends and kind of after-school stuff or whatever you use as a single parent. But can you give yourself a break and not feel guilty over what you're not doing, particularly if you're trying to hold down a job and it's just you? One thing that we did last weekend is we took a day off. So you take a holiday where I'm not going to worry about schooling. I'm not going to worry about what does and doesn't get done around the house. The house is probably dirtier now than it has been in a while. That's okay. You know, let's not stress about who eats what and how much we eat and what we should be eating. Get a takeaway. Get your kid's favorite TV show. Another funny thing the parents can do, and it may or may not work for you, is can you have a yes day where wherever your child asks for, you have to say yes to. Within reason, of course, and within the current restrictions.
Yeah, within reason. That doesn't strike me as the best idea you've given us yet, Helen.
But it gives your kids a sense of control in the sense that they can maybe decide some outcomes. Because the one thing I think we've lost through all this is choice. and personal freedom to be able to go and do your sport or go and watch a film or go to a concert or all the things that we liked and enjoyed, as well as our working lives and all of that, have suddenly been removed. And if you can give your children some level of choice and control over what they're doing, you know, and maybe it's not a yes day, maybe it's just making plans for the next day. What do you want to do tomorrow? What should we try and get done? And make it simple things like drinking enough water, getting a good night's sleep, you know, give them some sense of control over what they do the next day and what they want to get done and what's important to them, you know, so it's not all the pressure on you. If they have a subject they love, okay, well, let's do an hour of that tomorrow because hopefully you'll enjoy and it won't be a slog like other things have been.
Helen, a couple of other things I want to get to. My wife, Aileen, runs the Parentline charity. And one of the things that they have been finding in a lot of the phone calls coming to them has been parents struggling with maybe teenage or even getting towards adult children who are not dealing well with the lockdown and who actually often can be physically violent and threatening in their reactions. What should parents do, in your view, in a situation like that?
You see, I do think it's really tough for the children. Well, they're not really children anymore. The older teenagers who are not at school. For them, for teenage years, friends are hugely important. It's kind of a stage of development where you shift from your family being your main unit to your friends being your main unit. And that's what you really care about and that's who you want to spend time with. So for them, this is a really tough time because they do feel stuck at home.
Well, what if they start acting out? How do you deal with them if they start acting out?
Can you talk to them? A big thing with children and young people is communication. So can you talk to them on their level? Talk to them about what their frustrations are, if they're feeling anxious. I wonder, are many parents trying to hold their anxiety back and not show it to their children? But can you talk about how you're feeling and that you're feeling, you know, a bit out of your depth or, I don't know, a bit confused or a bit anxious, a bit sad? Can you level with them how you're feeling and get them to talk about how they're feeling? Hopefully have some level of an open conversation. See what it is that they want. What do they want that they're not getting? And can you negotiate that they can get some of it in terms of, I don't know, within your 5K radius, going to do things that are safe and that are okay and that they can do? You know, I think in the next stage that some people are going to be able to meet up if you're outdoors. So hopefully they're not far from being able to meet some of their friends who live nearby in a controlled kind of outdoor 2 meters apart setting.
Okay.
You know, it's Helen, tough, but can you connect with them and talk to them?
Just to finish off, Helen, we've been talking an awful lot about the relationship between children and parents. But how important is it that the parents maintain a good relationship during lockdown and are seen by their children to have that? Because, you know, children of all ages pick up on signals very quickly, don't they, if there's tension between the parents?
They do. And whatever you're modelling for your children is usually the way they will then behave. So they take that as the blueprint for how one should be as a human being and also in a relationship. You know, so I would say there's huge pressure on relationships at the moment. It's very hard not to be snappy at times or to get angry over something. And usually if you are getting angry over something, there's something underneath there that's bothering you. It may be relationship related. It may be not. You know, it could be work. It could be the lack of freedom that we have or the feeling of uncertainty or whatever it is. So I would say accept that some conflict can happen. Try to talk about it with your partner. Try to repair it if you can. If you can't, no harm to talk to a therapist if you need to, or talk to a friend, or try to work it out between you. And if your children see you have a fight over something, let them see the repair as well. So let them see the fact that you were okay to apologise, your partner was okay to apologise, and that they see that you make up, because that's also important modelling. They can see, yes, conflict does come up, but this is how we should deal with it. And that's a good lesson for them, you know, as well as learning that conflict is
a
thing.
Well, a final one in relation to that. Drinking alcohol at home, should it be done in front of the children? If it is done in front of the children, how responsibly does it have to be done?
I think alcohol is a tricky one at the moment because, you know, I think it's something that is comforting, but you have to notice, is it becoming problematic? Is it something, you know, it's used as a numbing agent usually for what could be happening in your life that may be difficult or hurtful or traumatic or whatever. So I would say check in and check your alcohol use. Are you using it to, I don't know, numb whatever anxiety is going on for you at the moment? Are you doing it every day? Is it getting to the point where you think this isn't actually healthy drinking? Or are you able to enjoy a drink or two on a Friday and then not have drink for a few days? You know, there's advice from the HSE in terms of how much you should be drinking and how many free days you should have a week in terms of drinking. So I would say check in and see if you think your alcohol consumption is healthy. You know, and if so, there's no problem doing it in front of children, as far as I know. But yeah, I would just say be careful. It's very easy. I found it very easy to slip into having a drink every day, and then I had to stop and say, nah, that's a bad habit. You know, I'm happy to do it one or two days a week, but not every day of the week, because I don't think that's healthy.
Helen Vaughan, psychotherapist, owner of Maynooth Counselling and Psychotherapy, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word in Today FM. I mentioned Parentline earlier in this piece, and parentline.ie is the website where you can get further information if you need somebody to talk to about issues in relation to parenting.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.